It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. It's PGA Championship Week, and for the first time since 2014, Valhalla is this year's host, hosting the PGA Championship for the fourth time in its history. Mark Brooks defeated Kenny Perry in a playoff to win the 1996 PGA Championship, and then 4 years later, in 2000, Tiger Woods defeated Bob May in a playoff as well. It was Tiger's fifth major title and third straight. Rory McIlroy then topped Phil Mickelson by a shot in 2014. That is Rory's last major championship. Who's going to win this year? Well, we'll have to wait and find out. There are many ways to watch the PGA Championship this year. Friday, it begins at 7 a.m., 7 to 1 o'clock on ESPN+, and then 1 to 8 o'clock on ESPN, followed on Saturday and Sunday. Both of those days, ESPN+ picks up their coverage at 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. ESPN follows that 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then CBS picks up their coverage of the PGA Championship from 1 o'clock until 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Valhalla, hosting a major for its fourth time, and it's also hosted a Ryder Cup as well. You might remember that. Future sites of the PGA Championship. Next year, it travels to North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina to be exact, with Quail Hollow Club being the host. In 2026, it heads to an Aramanic Golf Club in Newton Square, Pennsylvania. PGA Frisco is the host down in Texas in 2027. The Olympic Club, the Lake Course in San Francisco, California, will host in 2028. Baltusrol Golf Club, the Lower Course in Springfield, New Jersey, will host in 2029. And then Congressional Country Club in Bethesda, Maryland in 2030. 2031, it goes to the Ocean Course in Kiawah Island in South Carolina. 2032 and 33 yet to be announced, but in 2034, it's back at PGA Frisco. That is where the PGA Championship is going to be the next couple of years. Speaking of the PGA of America, they put on the Ryder Cup, and the Ryder Cup will be at Bethpage Black in 2025. So next year, the Ryder Cup in New York, Bethpage Black, just outside of Farmingdale, New York. Before we get to our first break and I tell you about Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, congratulations to Shauna Taylor and the Arkansas women's golf team. They win the Las Vegas Regional in the women's NCAA tournament and punch their ticket to California for the NCAA championships. Congratulations to them. Also, congratulations to the Little Rock women's golf team on a fantastic season, winning the OVC and advancing to the NCAA tournament at the Traditions Club in Bryan, Texas, home of Texas A&M. They didn't play so well down there, but hey, the first time the Little Rock women have ever played in an NCAA women's tournament. Coming up on this episode of From the Short Grass, part two of my sit-down with Robin Dow, a member of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, also past captain and historian at Muirfield. You will not want to miss that interview. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotels. They know how to manage hotels well. If you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com, and make sure you stay at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. I guarantee you, you will love staying at a BP hotel. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, bphotels.com. We're back with part two of Robin Dow after this.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. In part one of my sit-down with Robin Dowd, you learned about the history of the game from the original 13 rules in a championship that was played at Leith Links, and the winner of that silver club, the oldest trophy in the game of golf that sits in the clubhouse at Muirfield in Scotland. Well, you're going to learn a lot more about Muirfield and the history of the game up until today with Robin Dow. On the tee, a member of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, Robin Dow.
There were changes to the course over time here at Muirfield. Which one was the most significant?
The big one was really in the 1920s. The club was able to buy all of the land on which the clubhouse, the original course, were established, but also an additional 50 acres of land. And the reason for that was that the ownership of the estate had changed, and the new landlord was willing to sell as opposed to lease. So we were able to buy all of that land, and that enabled Harry Colt to come and design the course that we have today. And that wasn't possible within the confines of the existing land that we were leasing when the club first moved here.
And they also asked him to work with Mr. Maxwell.
Indeed.
Who was an outstanding golfer in his own right.
Yeah, Maxwell was a very big star. And I would like to raise Maxwell's profile in the history of golf for two or three reasons. First of all, he was himself an extraordinarily accomplished golfer. People don't talk enough about Maxwell, but he won two amateur championships. He was a semi-finalist in a third amateur championship. When the Openers played at Muirfield, he finished fourth as an amateur. I mean, pretty extraordinary. In his career, he won 84 medals. The medals were not just for competitions at Muirfield, there were competitions at St Andrews, at Prestwick, at North Berwick, and County Cups, which is a foursomes competition. So he was an extremely good golfer. Secondly, he was extraordinarily knowledgeable about golf and a visionary about how and where should golf develop. So, for instance, he was one of the individuals who felt that the R&A should become much more responsible for the organization of the Amateur Championship and the Open Championship, because those had become very big tournaments and it was too much for an individual club to arrange and manage. So I think we owe a big debt to Maxwell, not just our club, but golf generally, because he did see the future and he laid out a way of where things could expand and improve and develop in an extremely visionary way.
Muirfield, Robin, the golf course, what challenges does it provide the members and guests and visitors that come?
Well, let's start from the point that it is a championship golf course. We've held 16 Open championships here. So by definition, it's going to be, you know, a challenging test of golf. And I think the second thing is that the course is laid out. So roughly speaking, you play 9 holes in a clockwise direction, which brings you back to the clubhouse, and then you play the back 9 in an anti-clockwise direction. So you're faced with constant shifts in wind, in direction. It's not a typical links course where you might be playing 9 holes out and 9 holes back. And if the wind, you know, is behind you on the way out and against you on the way back, it's a totally different golf course. This is much fairer. And if you look back over all the past Open champions here, they always talk about this being such a fair test of golf. I think the other thing is, if you take all of the contemporary and recent surveys about about world golf courses, regardless of which source you're looking, which magazine you're looking at, this golf course always comes up in the top 10 golf courses in the world. And so it stood the test of time, I think, because of its fairness, because of there are some exceptional and wonderful holes, and because of this nine-hole circular pattern. In contemporary sense, it's also important that we have a lot of space out there. So if you're hosting a championship, you need huge amounts of circulation space. You need huge amounts of space for, you know, a corporate hospitality and for all the other things that go with the championship. We have all of that. At the same time, I would just, my last point would be to say, the course is not set up so that your average member can't play it. Mm-hmm. Your average member can play it. And you can play it from the members' tees as opposed from the championship tees. And the difference is, you know, 6,600 yards versus 7,200 yards. So it's still a test, but it's still very fair. So, you know, medium to high handicapper, let's say someone in the 18 to 24 handicap range, can still play the course quite well. They'll just take more shots than a professional obviously would, but they can still do it. It's not beyond their reach.
And they can enjoy it.
They can enjoy it. They can have fun. And one of our the qualities, the criteria within our club is we like to come here to play golf, to have a good time, to meet our friends, to enjoy lunch, and to have fun.
Is that the Muirfield experience?
Yes. Yes, it really is. It really is. Having said that, one statistic I didn't mention, there are 148 bunkers on the golf course. Now, no matter how good you are,
you'll find them.
You'll find at least one.
Oh, my goodness. George Herbert Walker was here watching the 1920 Amateur Championship and was impressed by the play that he conceived the Walker Cup.
Yes, yes. Well, I think it was several things. I think it was because there was a spirit of sportsmanship that he recognized, and I think that really captured his imagination and his spirit. Secondly, I think not just were people playing with a kind of sporting attitude, I think watching here was extremely straightforward. It was very exciting. I mean, you didn't have to walk out to the very far end of the links and then find you were in the wrong place. You know, it was much more straightforward. And I think because the club itself had a really incredible spirit of camaraderie. I mean, I understood that, identified with it, and wanted to create a team competition that would capture those values.
Jack Nicklaus played in the 1959 Walker Cup here at Muirfield and named his own course in Ohio after it, Muirfield Village. Mm-hmm. Is that a sense of pride for the members here?
I think it is. I think perhaps our starting point would be also he won the 1966 Open here, mm-hmm. and he was very complimentary about the course and still is very complimentary about the course. There is a Jack Nicklaus, you know, favorite links holes in the world, I think it's called. And there are a couple of Muirfield holes in there. So he's got both good and bad memories because, he didn't do well every single time, but he certainly triumphed in the 66 Open. And so we're very proud of having Jack as an Open champion here. Obviously he went on to, well, his record speaks for itself.
Yes, it does, especially in majors. Robin, what's it like when the Open Championship comes here now? Obviously, back in the day, you didn't have the grandstands, you didn't have all the technology, but what is it like when it comes to Muirfield?
Well, let me contrast and compare. My dad was a member here, so I've been coming to, I think he joined in the 1950. So I've been coming to Muirfield, you know, as a short-trousered schoolboy and until now. In those days, when you watched a championship, you walked behind gentlemen who were holding a rope, and they walked up the fairway and you walked behind them and you could see them hitting the shots, and that was wonderful. Today, it's a transformation. I mean, the Open Championship, let's be clear, is very, very big business. It's a very big business around the world. So the TV coverage is extraordinary. I mean, people in every corner of the world are watching the Open Championship. And speaking personally, I think it's wonderful to have the best players in the world playing on your golf course and seeing how they plot and plan their way around the golf course, seeing the extraordinary skill they have in terms of how they deal with that, not just when things go right, but when things go wrong. So I just love it when the Open Championship is here. I think it's a marriage of one of the best golf courses in the world with one of the greatest histories in golf and with the best players coming to enjoy both.
I know Augusta National was built after, obviously, Muirfield, but some in the States attribute Muirfield to the Augusta National of Scotland, if you will. Is that a fair statement?
I've been to Augusta and had a wonderful time there, and I admire so many of the qualities and properties that it has. I think there are quite a lot of distinctions between the two. I mean, they're both exceptional clubs and exceptional places, but I think they have their own qualities and properties. And they're just, you know, like standard bearers in their own countries.
I mean, it's kind of neat to see the different nuances,
yes,
of the different clubs as well, right?
Correct, yes. I mean, I think that both courses are exceptional. I think probably you would say ours is much more rugged and Augusta is much more beautiful. They have the severe undulations,
yes,
on the golf course that you don't see on television. It's only when you're walking the fairways that you realize how much the elevation shifts on a round. We have a much flatter course, but we have more punishments along the way. We have narrower fairways. You have to, you can be in 148 bunkers. I'm not sure how many there are at Augusta.
Not that many.
No. So I think there are. You can contrast and compare. All you can say at the end of the day that both are fantastic golf clubs, fantastic golf courses, and they both have their own wonderful history.
When Phil Mickelson won here in 2013, he was the only player to break par. Was that surprising?
Well, it wasn't surprising to me because, you know, we always say the score in the Open, both here and at any links course, depends on the weather. It actually depends on the weather more than the golf course. And if the weather is Scottish to any degree, so you get significant shifts in the strength and the direction of the wind, you get significant changes in weather, whether it's from sunshine to pouring rain or whatever it is. I mean, you have to be able to play in four seasons because you might get four seasons in one round of golf. I think the score wasn't a surprise to me. I suppose I thought that probably a few more people would be under par. And let's face it, to get under par, Phil had four birdies in the last six holes.
Yeah.
And the back nine is really tough. And it's especially tough, obviously, in the championship setup. And so he went from being not leading the field after nine holes of the back nine, he jumped ahead with those four birdies.
In 20 years, the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers will celebrate 300 years. Hmm. When you think about that, does that give you chills?
It does. I mean, I find it a great source of pride. I find it astonishing that it's happened. I find that it's a privilege to be a member of an institution that's got that history, that legacy, and that I'm one of the inheritors of that. I find a great delight in talking about it, as you can probably tell. And I just hope it goes on, you know, for time immemorial.
Do you see this place continuing as it is forever and ever?
I wouldn't say that, because I think unless you evolve, unless you unless you are capable of changing in your own particular way, if you stand still, I think you atrophy and you disappear or you lose your place in the great scheme of things. So I think evolution is extremely important. I think that's one thing that the Honourable Company has done exceptionally well. You know, we've moved from Leith to Musselburgh to Muirfield, all very big steps. Here at Muirfield, we've evolved in all kinds of ways in the time that we've been here. But it's not done in terms of, you know, sort of jumping to some completely different way of being. It's a progressive management of how our club unfolds and develops.
COVID, what did that do to the club and how did the club respond?
Well, COVID had a very big and at the time devastating impact. First of all, in this order, members couldn't come to the golf course and play. In Scotland, that was only for a very short period of time. Then if you lived very close to the club, you could come and play. But if you lived in Edinburgh, you couldn't. So all of our Edinburgh members for a long time, during the various lockdowns and quasi-lockdowns, couldn't come here. I was lucky because I live literally on the doorstep. So we could come and play, and that was lovely. And it was fresh air, and you needed that. So that was one significant impact. And you didn't see your usual friends. You know, a lot of the camaraderie was gone. I think the second aspect was that all of our overseas members couldn't come at all. For two seasons, we didn't see our overseas members. And the overseas members here are fantastic. It's wonderful to have this collection of international characters. I mean, many of them are from the United States or North America, but they're from all over the place. We didn't see them. And I personally really missed that because I have so many friends in amongst them. So that was a big impact. Thirdly, and this had huge financial implications, there were no visitors. We organise our golf calendar that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, visitors from all over the world can come and play the course. And they're welcomed here as the equivalent of a member for the day. And they have an absolutely wonderful time. But of course, that was all hit on the head. That was not possible. So the club was faced with a situation where a very substantial income stream was just immediately cut off. And so we had to work around that. And members were extremely generous in helping the club to do that. And we had significant reserves. But it was a very big financial challenge, and we dealt with it extremely well, and we're now out of the other side of it, and hopefully it won't happen again. But I think perhaps all organisations will think, we'd better be better prepared for something like COVID in the future, because you never know.
But do you think more people came to the game of golf because of COVID? I know in the States that happened.
Yes, they did. I don't have statistics to hand, but certainly people both took up golf for the first time and they came back to golf who had played previously but maybe, you know, become less interested. So there was a significant surge in the interest in golf and playing golf, unquestionably. And our bookings since COVID here in terms of visitors have been extraordinary. I mean, fully booked a year ahead. I mean, just like...
Favorite golf course you've ever played? And you can't say Muirfield.
That's tricky. I'm not sure I could nail it to one. There are two or three golf courses in Scotland that I absolutely admire and love. Not in any order. There is one called Western Gales in the west of Scotland, which is an absolutely magnificent links, and it really it demonstrates all that's great about a links course, and I really appreciate going there. I think it's terrific. I'm a great fan of Castle Stewart up in the north near Inverness, and I'm a great fan of that because I think it's a good example of where players of all different skill levels can perform and enjoy, and is beautifully situated beside the Murray Firth. And so I'm a great admirer of that. I also like, Scotland has a number of these quirky 9-hole courses. I mean, they're really quirky. And to play those courses with hickory shafted golf clubs, that is a wonderful experience.
You still play with hickory shafts?
Yes. Not all the time, obviously.
But, well, but occasionally you like to.
Yeah. I do.
Worst weather you've ever played in at Muirfield?
Well, let me answer the question this way. The worst weather probably I've ever seen golf being played in at Muirfield was in the 2002 Open when Tiger shot 81, I think it was, on the Saturday in the third round. And it went from being a perfectly benign and beautiful morning, and then suddenly around 2 o'clock, the whole sky went black. The wind came from nowhere, blew like crazy. The rain came lashing down. I followed Tiger for the first 5 holes, and he just was in chaos. Now, he came back and shot 66 the next day. So you have to take your hats off to him. But I think that's the worst weather I've seen in a competitive tournament.
And it wasn't predicted, was it?
It wasn't predicted. And there, if you go, I think it's on the RNA website, you can see they've got old newsreel films of interviews with the weather forecasters at the time, and they're looking a little bit and say, well, it's going to be a little storm. But there was no sense whatsoever it was going to be crazy.
I've always said that weathermen get paid to be wrong.
True. Well, if you talk to people in this part of the world, they will say that this golf course exists in a microclimate. And the microclimate is caused by the fact that we have Gillen Hill. And Gillen Hill has a very significant role in the formation of wet weather patterns around the golf course. And so often the worst of the weather will pass by the golf course. If you talk to a meteorologist, and I did that, this particular one said to me, you know, everywhere I've been, people say that they live in a microclimate. And if it was all true, there would be no climate at all.
Very good point. Last question for you. This one might be pretty easy. A fantasy foursome, you and three others that you would like to play a round of golf with, living or deceased?
Well, I would have to take someone from the history of the club. And I think I would automatically choose John Rattray, because he won the Silver Club 3 times. He won the first time. He was clearly an accomplished character because he was a surgeon and he also won the Silver Hour. So I'd have John Rattray as my banker, if you like. I think I would, if I moved to modern times, I would simply have to have Tiger in my four, because, you know, while he hasn't reached the number of majors that Jack has played, I think his impact on the world of golf was in his day as great as Rattray's was in his day, if you like. So then I think I would like to have Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
I think Arnold Palmer was my hero as a boy, because I think he transformed my view of what golf was all about. And I think he was a heroic figure. I think he stood up for all kinds of stuff. I think he really, really was somebody that you felt you could meet and talk to. I mean, he wasn't like a distant figure. He was Arnie, and he was there, and he was, you know. So there you. That would. So I'd play with those three any day you like.
Robin, I can't thank you enough for the time.
My pleasure.
It's been wonderful to sit down and grasp this history through your words.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you immensely for that.
My pleasure. Well, I'm glad it all worked out. I mean, we've been toing and froing a bit, but I'm glad it happened.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
That's all the time we have for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to thank Mr. Robin Dow of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers for spending some time with me out of his busy schedule when I was over in Scotland back in March to sit down for these two episodes. The interviews, I thought, were fantastic with him, and the history that he knows about the game of golf. I hope it was interesting to you, the listener, as well. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.